Essay, Part 2. Our home care agency had maintained Willie on service for several months, treating a non-healing diabetic wound on his foot. The home health nurses were his only resource. We filled his medication box and made certain that there was food in the house through the Meals on Wheels program, or by bringing food on our visits. The agency provided a home health aide and generally looked after his safety and well-being. It was an unspoken understanding that Willie wouldn't be discharged from services in the near future. We were all willing accomplices. For a time, I was assigned to be the primary RN on the case. The nursing care plan called for dressing changes to the foot 4 to 5 times per week. I made at least 3 of those visits each week, and my routine with Willie became fairly rote. He sat in the same chair each time, with his foot propped on an ottoman. I was positioned in front of the foot, my back to his decrepit television. I would chatter away to compensate for his lack of dialogue, regaling him with the stories of my children, the weather, or whatever other bits of news came to mind. Sometimes he would give me his rapt attention, and at other times he would be more intent on the news or a game show. On Labor Day weekend 1997, I found myself unexpectedly having to cover patient visits. It was to have been a day off for me, and I was annoyed at this sudden change in plans. My family was enjoying a barbecue and company at home, while I was traversing rural roads, visiting homebound patients. Like Willie. Willie was my last visit of the day. When I arrived, he was already ensconced in his chair, awaiting my arrival. He didn't seem to notice my stormy countenance or my marked silence. While I worked on his foot, he continued to watch the news in silence, which somehow irritated me even more. As I neared the end of my task, Willie's foot inexplicably became a squirmy, moving target that I was struggling to dress in gauze wrap. Head bent over the foot, determined to swiftly complete the task and head home, I found my attention suddenly arrested by a rich male voice. The lady died. I whipped around to see who had entered the home undetected, but no one was there. Suddenly I knew. Willie. He had spoken those 3 words to me, without impediment or hesitation. As I looked incredulously into his face, I realized that he was pointing at the television behind me, where the tragic news of the death of the Princess of Wales had broken into the regularly scheduled program. On shaking legs, I sank to the ottoman. To this day, I don't know if I was more stunned by the news of Princess Diana or by Willie's unexpected utterance. He was clearly shaken and moved by the death, and I found myself deeply ashamed of my earlier display of petulance. I moved a chair next to his and took his hand. We watched the news of the accident in Paris for about an hour in silence. Willie spoke no more that day, nor did I ever again hear him clearly speak understandable language. Driving home later that afternoon, it occurred to me that Willie had spoken without a trace of accent, Hungarian or otherwise.